Our sermon text for today comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and those who pierced him and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of God for the people of God. Today in the church year is Christ the King Sunday, a Sunday when we think about Jesus Christ as our King, not just as our Lord and Savior, the one who has given his blood and his life for our salvation, but as our King. Now, I know that in the United States, the term King doesn't carry a lot of power. We don't like kings. The last king we had, we threw out 200 years ago. Well, I have a friend who was born in Canada, and his grandfather was actually a British diplomat. And we argue all the time about why you should even have a king. He thinks the idea of a king is the greatest thing in the world. He thinks that to have a king or a queen or a royal family is just so wonderful. And for him, just the fact that they are royalty means something. And I think sometimes that we lose some of that when we talk about Jesus being our King. Because we are very independent. That's why most of our ancestors came here. Because we are independent people and we don't want anybody telling us what we should or should not do. The problem with that is that doesn't make real good followers. It does if you decide you want to follow. Now, I, of course, go back to my time in the military, and Corey and Dave will tell you that we may not have a king, but when somebody who's over you tells you to do something, you don't get a whole lot of choice. I found that out in boot camp. I got to do lots of exercises with an M1. Because I wasn't real good at following directions. Got in good shape, but we as Christians, as followers of God, need to understand that Jesus truly is our King. And not a King who lords it over us, who says, you have to do this because I say so. But a King who has laid out for us every reason why He wants us to do what we should do, and it's all for our own good. John writes here in the book of Revelation about who God is, and he actually mentions it twice. Who is and was and is to come. That's who God is. I think I've told you before, but I'll tell you again, that God's name, Yahweh, in Hebrew, means I am what I am and I will be what I will be. Now, for most, we've shortened that in our translation of the Bible because it's easier to say I am. But that's not the full meaning of God's personal name. It's I am who I am and I will be who I will be. In other words, God is never going to change. The God we know today is the same God that Abraham knew, the same God that David knew, the same God that the prophets Elijah and Jeremiah and all the other prophets knew, the same God that the disciples knew. God has never changed. God is never going to change. The things that God has said throughout all of the books of the Bible are still the things that God means. I hear people say, well, God is going to do differently with the people of Israel than he is with the Christians. That the Christians now are God's chosen people. Sorry, that's not true. Because for me, I can't serve a God who is a liar. I can't serve a God who is fickle. I can't serve a God who is going to change his mind at a whim. If you look at the history of the Jewish people, no matter what they did, they followed idols that they sacrificed their children to, and God never cast them out. Now, he punished them. He brought them back into line. He sent prophets to them to get them straightened out, but he never threw them away. He never said, "You're no longer my people." So when God says that we are his people, that the Jewish people are his people, they're going to be his people. Now, don't ask me how he's going to work that all out at the end, because he hasn't revealed that to me. That's his business. He's going to take care of it. What we need to remember is what Jesus has said, that we have been folded in to the people of Israel. We have become a part of them. Jesus himself says, there are sheep not of this fold. In other words, I'm going to bring in people who are not Jewish to be a part of this family, to be a part of what God has created. And God has allowed us to come into his family. But that hasn't changed God. It hasn't changed anything that he said. He is still God. He is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is never going to change. The other thing we need to think about when we think about a king is our idea of a king is somebody who is so much better than us that we don't even get to hardly look at them or talk to them. Now, my friend, though his grandfather was a diplomat, he's never got a chance to talk to the queen. He would probably like to, but he hasn't. It's not something, they're separate from us. Now, when God talks about Jesus being the King of Kings, it's not a king who is so much above us. It's a king who's come down to be a part of us, to actually live life the way we do. One of the movies that it reminds me of is, and I'm dating myself here, The Prince and the Pauper. Now, this is a story where a poor boy and a prince switch places. And that's kind of what God has done with Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ to the earth to be like us, so that we in turn would get to be like him, to have a place in heaven with God. But it's not just given out. You have to understand how to become a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't come to earth to lord over his kingship. He came to earth to die, that we might have the chance of eternity with him. He died for our sins, even though he was sinless. Now, an earthly king wouldn't do that. A human king wouldn't do that. But God chose to do that with Jesus because that's the only way that we could become part of God's family. It's the only way for us to have a relationship with God. God is holy. As Isaiah says in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, God is holy, holy, holy. Which means he's so set apart from you, don't even bother looking for him. Yet, that God, who is so far above us, sent Jesus Christ to earth so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could have fellowship with him. When Moses wanted to see God, God put him in a crack in a rock, covered him up, and walked by him backwards so that Moses couldn't even see the full glory of God. And when Moses came down off the mountain, he glowed so brightly the people couldn't even look at him. And that's just from being in the presence of God, not seeing God. Yet this God, who is so far above us, decided he wanted to have a relationship with us. Now that's not unusual. If you read the book of Genesis, you'll see that in the garden, God walked in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve. Now, check it out in Hebrew, and it is cool of the evening, not hot. The cool of the evening. God walked with people. And he had a relationship with him. Can you imagine that? Walking with God? I like to walk in the mountains to see all that God has created. It kind of feels like walking with God. I can't imagine that what it would be like to walk with God and to have him have a conversation with you. What would you talk about? But God wants to have that relationship with us. And to do that, he had to send Jesus. Jesus had to come and take our place on a cross so that we might have a place with God in heaven. You read Revelation chapter 21. This is what I love about the Bible. You read chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis, and see what God wanted to do. Everything God created was good. And then you read chapters 21 and 22 of Genesis, and you see that in the end, God gets what he wants. Everything truly becomes good, and he recreates everything, remakes everything in heaven. And even the tree of life sits in the middle of the New Jerusalem. And it says in Revelation chapter 22 that its leaves are for the healings of the nation. No more struggles, no more sickness, no more sorrows, no more war, no more any of the things that we have people have brought into the world through our sin. And God is going to restore all of that because he truly is king. And what he wants from us is not that we bow before him and declare him king, but that we accept him as our king. Not because we're afraid of him, but because we love him. But because of all he's done for us and our desire to serve him out of love. That's the kind of God we have. Not a king who demands respect. Not a king who demands anything from us, but a king who asked for us to serve him, who asked for us to follow him and to follow his teachings. Jesus has given up everything. He died on a cross for our sins because we are unworthy. He died so that we might be worthy. All we have to do is accept it. Accept Jesus' death on a cross that we might be a part of God's family. The one thing that we can be absolutely sure about in our faith is our God will never change. From the very beginning, God's goal was to have a relationship with us. That's what God has always wanted. That's what God desires. It's what he wants today. He wants a relationship with you. Not because you're worthy, because you aren't. None of us are. But because he loves us, and he wants us to love him back. That's what being a Christian is about. It's about loving God so much that we're willing to do anything for him. Because we know he's done everything for us. He is our king. Not a king who lords it over us, but a king who loves us. Remember that. Your king loves you, and he wants you to be a part of his family. He wants you to receive the forgiveness that he offers. I'm going to move this aside over here, and during our last hymn, if you would like to come up and spend some time at the altar, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you would like to become a part of that family, to start to begin to serve the King, I would invite you to come. We'll pray with you. If you want to recommit your life, you've wandered away, I invite you to come. If for any other reason you want to come, I invite you to come during our last hymn, that we might be God's people and God might be our God. Amen.